Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It is so good to see you. I missed you last Sunday, and the Lord has been good. I've got a 30-minute testimony I could give, but you probably don't need that this morning quite yet, okay? But I am feeling much better, not 100% by any means, but I am much better. I am much better this Sunday than the two Sundays before I was out. Okay, so I am very, very thankful. God is good. His mercy is everlasting. Oh, my goodness. And His grace is sufficient. That's my testimony so far, okay? This morning, we're going to be celebrating the ordinance of baptism following the announcement. So we're very thankful for that. Just a reminder for you, our quarterly business meeting will take place at 11 o'clock following Sunday school. Will that be in here? In the fellowship hall, okay? So the business meeting will be in the fellowship hall at 11 o'clock. So take the time to stay. It shouldn't be real long. We encourage you that. And deacons, don't forget that you'll be meeting following that. I put 12 o'clock on my notes here. I hope it's 11:30, okay? But don't forget that. Our ladies' Bible study this afternoon at 4 o'clock in the fellowship hall along with our youth activities. Wednesday, we're going to be back to normal, okay? We're going to have our bent knee prayer service at 7:30 in the library. And folks, we will be having prayer meeting Wednesday night at 6, okay? So come join with me and let's enjoy some time together. And also the children's activities on Wednesday evening at 6:30. Next Monday is our WMU, so please make note of that. There's a lot of announcements in your bulletin as well as your newsletter about up-and-coming events. On February the 8th, there's going to be another Household Essentials Community Giveaway here at the church. It's going to be from 5:30 to 7, and the items being given away is toilet paper, paper towels, Kleenex, facial bath and shower, soap, and so forth. You can make contributions of these items, okay, to the church. And this is in correlation with a group from the college, Fort Valley State College. So it's wonderful to be developing a relationship with the college there. And here at the front, we have some of these little flyers. And what we would like for you to do is to take one, and wherever you might be this week, leave it, okay? If it's the beauty salon, just ask if you can lay it down or put it somewhere where it can be seen. We want the news about this to be scattered throughout the community. Our brotherhood will meet on February the 10th, that's Saturday. Look in your bulletin. There's other announcements that are out in the future that are very, very important. And we encourage you in that way. One thing, though, that you need to do is if you want to be involved or know someone that wants to be involved in cooking with Gigi, that's going to be February the 17th, but registration needs to be done by February the 10th. And again, this is, we are hoping to reach young couples with this. Hopefully young couples who are not adept at cooking a whole lot can come and learn some things. And registration by the 10th. Let me also, just as I look out and see her, want to wish a happy birthday to Betty. 94, is that right? My goodness. And when is the birthday? Has it passed or is it still to come? Okay. That's what I get out. That's what I get for being out for a while, okay? Happy birthday to you and how blessed you are to have your daughter with you and grandson, is that correct? Okay. And as well as to have the health to be out and to be about. We're so very thankful for you. We continue to try to lend our prayers and support to Hannah Bennett, her family. Next Sunday, there's going to be some homemade jams and jellies, and they'll be available in the fellowship hall. And if you would like to get some of those and make some donations, those donations will go toward her family. This is sponsored by the Ladies Bible Study Group. And if you do not need the jams and the jellies and everything, and just like to make a contribution to this family, you can make your check out to Dottie Hester. And she has the routing to get the funds to this family. They are so appreciative for all the help that they're receiving. Other announcements that I might need to share this morning. I heard Vic did a great job last week on the Bible verse, a new commandment I give you.
Love one another.
As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. We are to, let's go through the whole list, okay? We're to build each other up. We're to encourage one another. We're to be devoted to one another. We are to honor one another. We are to live in harmony with one another. We are to forgive one another, pray for one another, be like-minded toward one another, accept one another, comfort one another, be patient with one another, serve one another, look to the interest of one another, stir up or stimulate one another to love and good works. We are to admonish one another, bear one another's burdens, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, submit to one another, and teach one another. And that's not the end of the list. All of this is within God's word. That's the kind of family he wants us to be as a church. And then we have some negative line, okay? It says that we're to stop passing judgment, criticizing and blaming one another. We're not to grumble and complain against each other. We're not to slander or speak evil or accuse one another. We're not to lie to one another. We're not to be conceited, provoking, irritating, and envying one another. And the new one we add this week is, if you keep on biting and devouring one another, watch out or you will destroy each other. Now, I'm going to add to that, from the Amplified Translation, it would say we're to stop creating strife among one another. Watch out, or you and your whole fellowship will be destroyed by each other. Wow. Warnings that are given in the Scripture. Let's look at the Scripture as we look toward our time of worship. James 1:22, one that you've heard, but do not forget the last of this verse, okay? Let's say it together. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Oh, we can deceive ourselves if we are just hearers of the word and not doers. We're to hear the word, apply the word, do the word. And this scripture right here fits right in with our sermon for today. We celebrate the beginning of our worship with this scripture as well as with this time of baptism.
Church. We're happy to be here today, and we have two lovely ladies that have come forward to sit there, and they have sit there and talked about, you know, their salvation and everything, but they want to present it to the church. And I hope as we go through this today that at the end that y'all will encourage them and come alongside of them and sit there and help grow them in the relationship with God. You know, I think that's one important aspect that people forget, you know, after baptism is come alongside and discipling the people. So I pray that we'll do that with these ladies, as I know that I will. Both of them, one is in my youth, one is in the children, and it is just a blessing to sit there, you know, just the joy that I get from it, to sit there and see them. It has nothing to do with me, only with God, and, you know, to sit there, and what a blessing, like I said, it is to sit there and see these two ladies come, so. So first this morning, we have Miss Madison. So she comes to us as one of our youth. When I first came here, she was one of our youth we had. And she was kind of quiet at first, but slowly, you know, she started kind of being more bubbly and everything. And she's been our one faithful youth that we've had through these times and everything as we've been looking for a head pastor and everything. And I'm just thankful for that and her family. And, you know, just to sit there and see her growth and her yearning and wanting to know more about God and just to see her, you know, call upon him, and, you know, it's just a blessing. So, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this next young lady, she is what you'd probably call a little spitfire. She is crazy. I know when I first met her, she was just wild and crazy, but she is just a joy and a blessing. Just to see her, you know, talk and sit there and share stuff about God. And then when she sat there and accepted Christ, when she first talked about it, we were at the Fall Festival, and she had mentioned, she talked to Brother Phil, and then when she came up and told me, I made sure to hop out of that Dunkin' booth as quick as possible and sit there and give her the biggest hug. Once again, she's just a joy, just like her sister, and it is a blessing to sit there and be able to teach these young ladies and sit there and see them grow in God. You know, as a father of, you know, boys and everything so far, you know, it's a different aspect when you're sitting there, you know, talking to ladies and everything, and these two are just a blessing, and Isabel is definitely a wonderful blessing to have with the children's ministry, so. So I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, let's pray real quick. Dear God, we just thank you so much for this day, and just thank you for these wonderful ladies that came forward to sit there and have a public profession of faith, dear God. We just thank you so much for them, for their family. I pray that you'll just bless them as they continue their journey to worship you and to honor you in everything they do. I pray that the church will come alongside of them and sit there and help disciple them and just to grow their faith in you. We thank you for who you are and everything you do for us. In your name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. It's so nice to see all of you. If you see a permanent smile plastered on my face this morning, my son came home Friday from Iraq.
Amen.
So I thank you for your prayers. If you were praying for him, I ask that you continue to pray for the soldiers that are still there and in harm's way. If you would, join me this morning. Our first song is hymn number 11, All Creatures of Our God and King. We're going to sing the first, the second, and the fourth verse, if you will.
Of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing, Alleluia, Alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, half silver moon with softer gleam, all praise Him.
Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
continue our singing with hymn number 81, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought, verses 1, 3, and 4. Welcome to leave for Children's Church at this time. If you would, you can go ahead and have a seat. We're going to sing our offertory hymn number 315, His Name is Wonderful, and we're going to sing both verses.
King.
Thank you, thank you. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, or you can take one maybe out of the pew in front of you, I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 6, and we'll be looking at verses 46 through 49. In reference to this scripture, my mind went back to what used to be called the beginner's department at the church that I attended. Some of you remember that. I believe the beginners were 4 and 5 year olds. And in the Sunday school, as a child that I was involved in, music was a part of Sunday morning. And in fact, that was one of the reasons my mother gave me and insisted on my piano lessons, because there, a lot of times they had a hard time finding someone to play in the Sunday school departments for the children. And I remembered back to the beginner's class. And let me take you back, maybe in your mind, if you remember that as well, to a little song which was one of my favorites as a child. And it went something like this. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Do any of you remember the little hand gestures? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And then the rain came tumbling down. The rain came down and the floods came up. Rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up, but the house on the rock stood firm. Okay? The words are different in some, but anyway. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down, and the floods came up. The rains came down, the floods came up. The rains came down, and the floods came up, and the house on the sand fell. And what did we do? Does anybody remember? Where I was in the Sunday, when it said, and the house on the sand fell flat, we all tumbled to the ground. And I guess it was the tumbling to the ground that made me like that song, you know. But that's the truth of the scripture that we're looking to this morning in Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 46, I read. And it begins with a penetrating question that Jesus asks. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who builds a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. What a penetrating question Jesus begins with right here when he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? I know you're hearing the same thing I'm hearing. I don't know if we can do anything about that or not, but this is, you know, this might be Satan saying to some of you, this is a message that I want you to hear, okay? I want you to be focused on other things, okay? He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you to do? Kyrios is the Greek word for Lord. And it means teacher. It means master. And any time it's repeated here, Lord, Lord, it means teacher of teachers or master of masters or the master teacher or the one who speaks for Jehovah. So you see, Jesus could have said, why do you call me Lord and not do what I tell you? But he didn't say that.
He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? He's saying, why do you call me the master teacher? Why do you call me master of all masters? Why do you call me teacher of all teachers? Why do you call me the one who speaks for Jehovah and not do what I tell you? Now, this is not the only place that Jesus used the terminology, Lord, Lord. I take you to Matthew 7, verse 21. And it says, not everyone who says to me what? Okay, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord. Not everyone who says to me, the one who speaks for Jehovah or the master teacher, or the master of masters. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. If not heaven, where? Think about that. If not heaven, where? But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Who is Jesus directing these questions to? Who's he talking to? We go back into the 17th verse, and we read that there was a large crowd of his disciples with him, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Now that's the people that Jesus is speaking to. He's preaching to orthodox, devout, pious, zealous, passionate Jewish people who believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who believe in the law of the prophets, who believe in the promises of God, who believe in the one true God, who are serious about the law of God, and here they are fascinated and intrigued by Jesus. A large group of people, a huge throng of people are following Jesus. They are zealous Jewish people, and he's saying, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? In fact, the group on whom he speaks are called disciples. In ancient times, if you wanted to be taught, you would pick your teacher, and you followed your teacher around, and your teacher would teach you and mentor you as their followers. And so these people, thousands of them, I believe, had identified with Jesus. He was one of those, he was the most popular teacher ever, because no one was able to do what he did in terms of physical miracles, spiritual miracles. No one had ever taught like Jesus taught. He taught in a way where the people were amazed, the people were astonished. He taught with authority. That's the group that Jesus is speaking to. Very religious people. It might even be, if Jesus was in my place right here this morning, he might say the same thing. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you to do? Because I believe we would all have to admit there might be some things, maybe even in the love one another list that we've had, there might be some things that we know that we're supposed to do that we don't do. And that's not pleasing to God at all. Well, why did they call him Lord, Lord? I believe they respected him. I believe they acknowledged his divine power. I believe that they were astonished by the divine truth that he shared. And I believe they thought that he was from God. Many of Jesus' followers pretended to honor him by calling him Lord, but were not obedient to his commands, his teachings. It's the age-old common sin of profession without practice, or simply not practicing what we preach or what we say. People deal with God's word in different ways. Here this morning, and there's probably at least three groups here this morning in regards to how we deal with God's word. Now, our verse that we began today with was, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, You see how that verse fits right into what we're talking about? There are some people that are here today and was with Jesus at that time that would hear God's word and obey it. They would hear it. They would obey it. If God says it, I want to do it. I don't know about you. As I'm reading through the scriptures, if I read something and I say, listen, I struggle with that, you know, but if God says it, I want to do it. I want to be obedient. There are those people who hear God's word and obey it. I had a friend by the name of Adam Greenway. I met him, tremendous theologian. I met him when I was at Southern Seminary, and he later became the president of Southwestern Seminary for several years. He had the opportunity to sit down and talk with Dr. Charles Stanley on one occasion, and he asked Dr. Stanley, do you have any words of wisdom that you could give me? And this is what Dr. Stanley said. He said, obey God and let him worry about the consequences. Obey God. Obedience to God. That's what he wants. Now, all the way back, some of you are reading through the Bible right now with me. All the way back in the book of Genesis, one of the first things that man had a problem with was what? Obeying God. And things haven't changed. Things haven't changed. But there are those, even among us this morning, that desire to hear God's word and you desire to obey God's word. Some of you have come this morning like a sponge. Because of some things that you're dealing with in your life, you need God's word to speak to you. You need direction maybe for your life. You might need comfort this morning. You might need encouragement. You might need strength to face tomorrow. And when you come with that expectation, and when you come like a sponge, you find yourself leaving with the powerful word of God within you that has challenged you and has challenged your faith. God met your need through his word. You acquired knowledge. You acquired truth. And as you leave, you have the intent on making application to your life. And then there's a group here this morning among us, as was with the case with Jesus, that they hear the word and they don't obey it. They hear it, don't obey it. Now, as you follow the verses of be ye doers of the word, verses 23 and 24 go on to say this, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Now, how does that apply to God's word? Here we are. We hear it. We have it. We see it. And then as we leave, we forget it. Now, in the process, you might gain some knowledge. But there's no application involved. Sometimes that has to do with the way in which we come to worship. You know, it's very difficult to worship God only on Sunday. But if you have, during the week, spent some time in God's word, spent some time in prayer, then you are making preparations for the celebration of worship with your family as we come together. But if you're not making these preparations, you might just hear it, and then it goes in one ear and right out the other, like my mother sometimes said. You acquire knowledge with no intent to make application. And then there's a third group where they just don't hear the word. They don't hear it, and if they don't hear it, they have nothing to apply. There are some who come to worship with, and your interest is not here. You might find yourself right, maybe even right now, daydreaming. Maybe thinking about what's going to take place after church. Wondering if we're going to get out by 12 so that you can get where you need to on time. Let me assure you, you will be out by 12. There might be those who are sitting in right now working on problems that you got. You're working on them in your mind. It might be a problem that you've got at work. It might be a problem with your family. It's going through your mind. There might be those that are already looking at your watch to see, well, just how much longer do we have? There might be those who are not on medications that might cause sleepiness, who are having a hard time just keeping your eyelids open. Isn't that the worst feeling in the world? It's sad to think that we come into God's presence with God's family to hear God's truth and to make applications to our life, and we can't keep our eyes open. But you know, there are those that, well, you're here, you've made an appearance, perhaps to be seen by others, perhaps maybe to satisfy others. Maybe your wife has been on your case and you're at church today, okay? You're trying to make things right. I don't know what the case might be, but people deal with God's word in different ways. With calling Jesus Lord, Lord, there should come with that obedience to his word, and with obedience to his word should come a changed life. Now, that's what we've been talking about on previous Sundays. God's ability to transform us into something that is more like his son, Jesus Christ. You know, there are a lot of people who don't know the Lord and they're not saved. And that's sad. But there are also people who proclaim the Lord as their Savior who aren't saved. Jesus is saying, calling me Lord, Lord is just not good enough. It's not good enough. It's almost like the kiss of Judas. Think about that. Let me share with you a truth. Obedience is the only sound evidence of saving faith. And the things you say are useless if they're not accompanied by a changed life. If it's not accompanied by God's Spirit bringing about a sanctification of your life, where you're becoming more holy, more like Jesus. The person who has the Holy Spirit within them will really never be content to sit still and to do nothing to show their love for Jesus Christ. What a beautiful picture our Lord draws of the religion of man, who not only hears God's sayings, but does them. He compares them in our little illustration, as well as our song, to one who built a house and dug deep and laid a foundation on rock. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, the word rock in the Old Testament is a term for God. And the word foundation in the New Testament is a term for Christ. So this kind of faithfulness can be costly. Walking in obedience to our Lord can be costly. It may involve a lot of work, a lot of self-denial. It can involve laying aside pride and self-righteousness, the crucifying of the flesh, the putting on the mind of Christ, the taking up the cross daily to follow him, and to count all things loss for Christ's sake. All of this is not easy. It can be quite costly to have Jesus Christ as the foundation, the rock of your life. Cheryl and I have built several houses. Cheryl loves to build houses. I believe this afternoon, if I said, honey, I found a nice lot. Would you like to build another house? She said, yes, let's do that, you know. We built two houses while I was in Valdosta. When I put the first house up for sale, I had to let the church know, I'm not going anywhere, folks. I'm just going to build another house. And as we were building our house, we would walk through the community and look at other houses being built. And on this particular day, we were walking and we noticed a house that was being built. The lot had been graded and they just put in, you know, they dug the footers and a little cement had been poured.
And we talked to the owner, and she came up to us, and I said, you know, from the looks of that foundation, you're going to build a big house. And it was a big house. It looked like a funeral home almost, you know. It looks like over there at McCullough's funeral home, how pretty that place is. And she said, yeah. She said, by the looks of the foundation, she said, you'll never guess how much money I've got in that foundation. And I had no clue, and this was back over 20 years ago. She says, that what you see right there has cost me $50,000. Wow. Just the foundation. Having a good foundation can be costly. But like the house built on the rock, such faith will stand. In John 16, I believe it is, verse 33, it says, in this world we're going to have tribulation. In this world we're going to have troubles. And there's a need for us to have a strong foundation in our life. The Christian life, which combines a strong faith, a strong belief, and obedience to that faith and belief, is a life or a building that will not fall. What a sad picture our Lord draws of the religion of the man who hears the Lord's teaching but does not obey them. He compares him to one who, without a foundation, built a house upon the earth. Such a house or religion may look well for a while. You might not detect any difference between the possessor of such a religion and a true Christian. Both may worship in the same church. Both may partake of the same ordinance. Both may profess the same faith. Outward, the appearance of the house built on the rock and the house without a solid foundation may be much the same. But the day will come when storms will beat on that house which has no foundation. The day will come. Tribulation will come. Trouble will come. The walls that look so great in the sunshine and the fair weather will begin to crumble. The Christianity which consists merely of hearing God's word taught without doing anything is a building that will fall. Here's the Lord speaking to the most religious people possible. Understand that. But he says it doesn't mean anything if you don't do what I say. Jesus' message was that you've got to look at yourself and see yourself as that sinner. A sinner in need of a Savior. Then you've got to look at me, he says, and see me as your Lord. And cry out for the grace and the mercy of God on your sinful life. And not depend on self-righteousness. Jesus says that in the day of judgment, there are going to be some saying. Matthew 7:22. Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We did many miracles in your name. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Wow. What a powerful truth. And it should cause us to look in the mirror at ourselves and to examine our faith and our life and the way in which we receive the word. Are you hungry for the word in order that you might apply it to your life so that your life might be changed and a witness and a testimony for Jesus Christ? Being close is not good enough. People can be so close, but close doesn't count. Now, there's the old joke, you know, close is good in slow dancing and horseshoes and that kind of thing, right? But you know, in the game of golf, some of you play golf. If it's that close to the hole and it doesn't fall in, it's not there. You must recognize your sin, cry out to God for grace and mercy and forgiveness. It doesn't do you any good to admire Him. It doesn't do you any good to call Him Lord. It doesn't do you any good to say you're ministering in His name if you don't do what He says. Don't tell me you're a believer if you don't obey the Word of God. If you're a believer, you want to follow the Lord Jesus in the life that you live. And the last thing that you want to do is to continue in a pattern of unbroken sin. So you have a choice. The most important choice you'll ever make in your life. God's Word tells us that everybody that's talking about heaven isn't going there. It's sad. Unless through true obedience to the gospel, you've repented, confessed, believed, and received Jesus Christ as Savior, as the foundation of your life. If you have come to that point in your life, your eternal home is heaven. If not, you will not survive the divine judgment. Jesus talked more about hell than He did about heaven in order to warn us of its reality. And that's exactly what He means when He says, the ruin of that house was great. May God, by His grace, help us to make the right choice. And to understand that there is no salvation in any other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way and the only hope that you have of spending eternity in heaven is through your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior of your life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the beauty of Your Word, for the challenges of Your Word, for the truth of Your Word. And Lord, we thank You that Your Word can be so easy to understand sometimes, even with the comparison of a house that is built on a solid foundation and a house that's built on the sand. Lord, I pray that through the power of Your Spirit today that You might convict us. Convict us, Lord, as Your children of sin that we have not dealt with in our life. That we might seek forgiveness and apply the truth of Your Word to our life. And Lord, we pray for those who have never come to the point of receiving God's gift of salvation. I pray, Lord, that if there's one here this morning who's yet to confess their sin and place their faith in Jesus, they've yet to receive salvation, I pray that they might make that choice today through the leadership and the empowerment of Your Spirit. So in the name of Jesus we pray, amen. If you're here this morning, and perhaps you're looking for a church home. And I just want you to know here at First Baptist Church of Fort Valley, we welcome you. We invite you to come and join with us in the ministry here at the church, in this community. If you've yet to receive Christ, I invite you to respond. If there's a need within your life as a child of God to repent of sin, to apply truth, I pray that you might do that as well this morning. As we stand, as we sing, I invite you to respond.
Our hymn of invitation is hymn number 417, Jesus is Tenderly Calling.
Would you come forward with me?
John Davidson is coming. And he's coming on behalf of himself as well as his wife, Mitzi. And they have a desire to become members at First Baptist Church of Fortin Valley. If you
rejoice with me this morning, this decision
is being made, would you indicate it by saying amen?
Amen.
And John, welcome. I told him I thought he was a member. Two visitors, so be it. I know that following our closing prayer that you want to come and just greet him. If you've never met John, this is a good time to do that. And I ask that you continue to pray for his wife as well as Danny's wife as they both try to recover. And, God is in the miracle business. And I am so thankful for that. Let's bow together. Lord, we rejoice in your presence. We thank you for this church. We thank you for each person that is here. And Lord, I pray
that, Lord, we might be glorified in the life that we live. And Lord, that others might see you and be drawn to you through the life that we live. Bless us now today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stay? Don't we have certificates to hand out? Certificates here. Yeah, I did. Excuse me. Morning, David.
Good morning,
Good to see you.
It's going to get better, ain't it?
It is. It's wonderful.